This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hey, listen to Chris Around on Free FM, RFM, and MP. As always, I'm Gradient live on Discord. We got Josh.
Hey!
NXT Heatwave coming up this weekend. We got a whole bunch of title matches. In fact, pretty much most of the title matches or titles are on the line. We're just going to go in whatever order I decide, and we're going to start with that unification match. Zarya heads in as the women's North American champion, Rhea Sinclair heads in as the women's speed champion, and one of them walks out with a unified belt.
We're getting rid of the speed championships! Yay!
Woo!
Because they could not come to terms with a new deal for with X. That's why they held on to him, because they were hoping to get another deal with X, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah, they were fun little gimmicks. They definitely worked way better as X matches. No, I'm going to say Twitter still. As matches that went on Twitter for like short video, bam, 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 here you go. I think them feeding into the main show got a little weird. Kind of like the Heritage Cup stuff did. It's just a whole different rule set. I'm not mad to see at least the women's one getting unified away. I'm sure the men's won't be far behind.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if I was booking it, I would pick Rhea Sinclair. I absolutely love her. And I think putting her in the North American as the North American champion elevates her and allows you to either put Zarya on a clash course with whoever ends up being the women's champion, or allows her to be called up. But they'll probably just keep the title, North American title, on Zarya.
Yeah, I think that's the most obvious outcome, right? Like, if you were to rank these belts, the North American belt does rank a little bit higher than the gimmicky speed belt. But there is two options, Zarya demolishing and showing why she's champion, and Rhea Sinclair getting, the sneaky win over the big monster that nobody expected. And ultimately, I'm happy both ways. I love both of these women. I think they're good. I think Rhea probably does need that little bit more of a shine down here. Maybe Zari, as you say, collision course with the women's champion. Maybe main roster. We're seeing a lot of call-ups lately. I do think they need to keep ahead just a little bit longer to bolster that division, but NXT can fix a division in 3 weeks, it seems. So smart money's probably on Zarya, but I would not be sad if Rhea did come out on top. And then we'll talk about the men's North American championship, and it kind of goes hand in hand with the tag team championship. So for the North American championship, Miles Bourne comes in as champion, and it is Jackson Drake, the lead of the Vanity Project, that he'll go against. But he's also pulling double duty because he is the tag champion with Tavian Heights, who will also be defending against the rest of Vanity Project. So it could be a really good day for Miles, or it could be a really bad day for Miles.
I am going to say, I think they'll put the tag team match on first. I think, and I think that will weaken Miles enough that I think that they might retain the tag titles, but it'll be like one of those really squeakers type of retentions, where, and then they'll have the match for, the North American Championship either immediately right after or like a match later that doesn't give him a lot of time to rest. And he'll be weakened, and that will allow Jackson Drake to run off with the North American Championship. It's either going to be one of two things. It's either going to be Jackson Drake wins the North American Championship, but Bourne and Tavian Hatz retains the tag titles, or the Vanity Project just sweeps all three, both of them.
So you're picking brand new North American champion either way.
I'm picking Jackson Drake to win the title no matter what.
I think it's, yeah, I'm probably not far off where your predictions are. On a 5-match card, it's really hard to get that break no matter how they pull it. I don't really see either of these going on last. So the most you're going to get is a 2-match break. I can definitely see the Vanity Project taking the sweep here. Miles Bourne has been great, loved what he's done. Wasn't 100% on him picking up the tag team championships, but we'll see how it goes. But the Vanity Project is the future that they're kind of building up under here. We got the top four male talents, who we'll talk about later for that NXT championship, but these are your next guys, you know, your Jackson Drakes of the world, who are about to burst on through up there. So maybe Miles Bourne, main roster NXT championship. Like, there's a lot of future for him as well, once he gets detached from that North American and that tag team championships. Women's championship on the line, Kendall Gray, Kalani Jordan, 1-on-1.
This is going to be a tough match because I don't think Kendall's had the title for that long.
No, it hasn't been a long amount of time. We all rapidly click around. Kendall has had it for 54 days as of today, time of recording.
Right. So, yeah, it's going to be one of those things where it's like, I'm not entirely sure, because I like both these girls. I think Kendall's a pretty talented wrestler. I think Kalani Jordan's a lot of the future of this business. So I could see this being a 50-50. It would make, if she loses the title here, it would make her the fourth shortest title reign in that title's history.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm kind of like hesitant on it. Because yeah, a lot of cases it is more longer reigns. You build somebody chasing them for a while. But Kalani is like somebody they have been building for a long time, but has finally gotten to have a shot at the title.
Yeah, for me with Kalani, it's a lot of that. Is it now or is it never? Kendall Gray was, you know, a bit of that quick upstart. Shows up to the women's championship pretty quickly. Kalani Jordan has been plugging away. Has been, you know, putting in the effort, sort of backbone feuds around the title, not the title, held the North American Championship once, went over to TNA, held the Knockouts title, been doing pretty much everything that she can do in NXT other than win the NXT Women's Championship. And I thought maybe with the feud with Lola and we were doing sort of the three-way feud, maybe there we were gonna switch it over to Kalani. We went with Kendall instead. I'm not mad either way with this one, but it does feel like if Kalani loses here, I don't really know what she's got going for her. We're not going to give her, you know, another rematch out of nowhere, especially with how this NXT women's division is and how competitive it is for people who do want those top spots. Last match on the card, NXT Championship. It is held by Tony D'Angelo. And I do remember about a month ago, I was saying that the NXT men's division was getting a bit weak. We were moving all of our top talent out. Well, bam, you get a Grayson Waller. Bam, you get a Cruz Montana. And bam, you get a Zilla Fatu. And now all of a sudden, you got a banger four-way for the NXT Championship at Heatwave.
Yeah. It'd be interesting seeing how this plays out, but I do think, no matter what, I think this is the last day of Tony D'Angelo's title reign. Although I think we have said that, what, three times in the last 2 months? But I do think one of the challengers walks out with the title. My head says probably Zilphi 2. Impact, new debut, like, they'll probably, but my heart says Cruz Montana. Which probably means Grayson Waller is going to annoy us and be a damn from the NXT champion.
Yeah, I feel like I've said this a lot, minus the sort of Miles Bourne matches, but I'm not really mad whichever way this goes. Tony has had like about 140 days, so he's lost his new champ buff for sure. He's in jeopardy going into this match. Fatal 4-Way, always easy for somebody to lose the championship. As you say, couple new debuts with Cruz, with Zilla, Grayson Waller coming down for the main roster. I wouldn't count out Grayson. I just feel like, and maybe it's the TNA in me, in the back of my head, putting Cruz on the chase is a little bit better, and that would have him either chasing Grayson or chasing Zilla, and I feel like Zilla is the better feud for him to be chasing. I feel like Grayson, it's a little bit harder just because he has come down from the main roster for him to immediately pick up the NXT championship. He has reworked himself and redesigned himself a little bit, but I don't know if it's too soon after coming back down.
Yeah, the argument that I'm going to say that should be obvious is the last two people that did what you just said, called down, came down from the main roster, the challenge for the NXT champion, immediately won it. Being Finn Balor and the man formerly known as Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, it's fair. You can't count them out. And I think that's the case here with everybody. Weirdly, the only person I'm counting out is Tony D'Angelo. I'm not counting out any of the three challengers. I think they can all do it if required, and can hold that title and carry the brand. Just Zilla Far 2, I think, is the more exciting, combustible element to have at the top of the card. But I'll take any of the three. If Tony retains, I'll be a little shocked. Alrighty, well, that is NXT Heatwave coming up this weekend. It is time to talk about our entrance theme this week, and it is, we're going to use the New Japan theme for Hiromu Takahashi. Now we have a name. We know Kyoki teaming up with Shinsuke Nakamura, which we'll talk about more on the other side of this song. Upon Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady, he's Josh. Kyoki, he's continuing. We already knew it was him. It was pretty clear it was him. But he's here now. We've seen him. He's making threats with Shinsuke Nakamura.
It should be interesting, because I think I'm a perfect representation of the general WWE fan in this case.
Mm-hmm.
I know nothing about him. I'm interested in seeing if they give us like some a series of video packages that maybe introduces to him, introduces character, and see where we can go from here. I do think, from based on just the promo we got on SmackDown, I do think he's a little better versed talking than Shinsuke is. And I think that could come in to help him down the road. Plus, I like the idea of just the Tongans versus the Japanese guys and let them just tear down the house.
Yeah, I think he's coming in as that wild card, as the chaos, to make a New Japan pun. And it's kind of what we need here. A little bit of crazy to go against Shinsuke's more calm nature. You know, we've seen Shinsuke dig deep and pull out a pretty brutal piece, but typically he's been more calm, more zen. And so having that Kyoki to bounce off of going absolutely crazy next to him, it will be an interesting dynamic for sure to develop on SmackDown.
Yeah, Kyoki literally means insanity or madness. And I think based on that meaning, I don't think they could have picked a better name for him based on what I have heard in the last week or two about him. Again, I know nothing. I've not seen him wrestle. I've not seen any of the stuff he did in New Japan. But as with almost all things, I'll give him a chance.
Yeah, and we may just only have time to talk about all the debuts and call-ups and special appearances, but Blake Munro was to get her in-ring debut. It was going to be against Julia. We saw it set up last week. She decided, no, I'm just going to beat the HE Double Hockey Sticks out of Julia instead, and I'm not going to have my match, and still seems to think that she should in-ring debut for the championship.
Spoiler alert, she does it again on SmackDown this week because they pre-taped it. I know I've seen a lot of people just PO'd about her not debuting in the ring yet. Not debuting in the ring, not wrestling yet for the main roster. It's all about building your character. And there is nothing that's more ticking off of somebody than promising something and not delivering on it. And that's what she's doing. She is ticking people off in the most annoying way she can without a microphone in her hand.
Yeah, it's bit different of a caliber, and definitely different of a in-ring caliber, but it does remind me of Eva Marie constantly not making it to the ring through 50 million different ways. You know, there's this thing that everybody wants. It's Blake Munro in there wrestling a match, and we're just going to hold off on it as long as we can to continue to stretch that out, make you really hate her for not doing the thing you want her to do.
Which makes her more interesting, because we've been kind of sour on her just because we haven't gotten much. We're starting to get stuff. Now we can get into her again.
Yeah, I think maybe holding her off a month or continuing the vignettes could have covered a bit of the gap. But as you say, she's here now. She's building that momentum and she's getting people interested, which is, you know, the name of the game. And if we're to jump to Raw, some factions starting to fall into place, the Usos and LA Knight and Solo Sikoa. We knew they had a collision course. They're like, well, let's just go at it in the main event. And then in probably what nobody would have predicted 100 times out of 100, Royce Keyes and OTM show up, OTM from NXT, and just wreck shop at the end.
Yeah, and I saw people like being confused and not understanding why he would attack Solo and LA Knight. Let me ask something. What happened the last time we saw Royce Keith?
He got killed.
Who did we not see during that segment?
His tag team friends that he was just teaming with.
Yeah, the guys he thought was his friends. So yeah, it makes all the sense in the world that he would turn on his so-called friends for not being there when he needed them, when he was there when they needed him.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it turns him heel, it gives him personality. The good guy, Royce Keith, was not working.
I agree. It was a bit of a, like, lackluster. He came out at the Rumble, got a bit of a pop. People were hyped for him, obviously coming over from AEW, formerly known as Powerhouse Hobbs. And then we got vignettes about how much he wants this, his history, his backstory. It wasn't connecting. He goes into the matches with LA and Solo, and Solo really outshines him and takes the big rub out of those. This is the reset he needed. And, you know, being in this group with OTM and pitting them against the Bloodline, pitting them against LA Knight, Solo Sikoa, and whoever else they can pull, works well. And they're hopefully just going to play around with that, but I'm excited for Royce Keyes with the new attitude, with the group behind him. It was a well-needed refresh. You know, you think about the Rumble being 6 months away, 6 months ago. Not a lot happened for Royce Keyes momentum between now and then.
Yeah, and OTM doesn't have to do anything, but just be the muscle for him that can help him. Yeah. Neutralize the numbers. Yeah, that's all we need from them for now until they can develop as characters.
100%. 100%. And we got this tournament. You know, we've been talking about what we think the finals are going to be. Well, we got exactly what we thought we were going to get, and now it is guaranteed that Fenix and Penta are going to tear the house down.
Yep. The phrase kiss applies. Keep it simple, stupid. And that's what they did. They kept it simple and gave us exactly what we want. If they give them time, and that match should be Raw next week. If it's not, there's something wrong with the way they've... If they give them 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 match of the year, it'll definitely be better, I think, than whatever the match, the winner versus Roman will be. But I not that I'm going to say that won't be a good match. It's just, these two are brothers. They've wrestled with each other. They've wrestled each other many times over. There is going to be a natural chemistry with them because they are brothers. And at the end of the day, I think it will be a phenomenal.
For sure, for sure. Look forward to seeing it, as you say. Should be a banger. Match with Roman should be interesting to see how it all plays out, but it's not the main event of that entire tournament. The main event of that tournament is those two clashing. Yeah. And getting to see them go head-to-head and interact on screen. Is it the start of something bigger? We'll have to see how it all plays out.
Yep. I think Rafe should win. I really think Rafe should win because Penix is already needs something to be elevated. Penta's at a point where him losing to Roman does not a lot for him because he's already in the upper mid card. But raising Rey Fénix makes two Latino stars that you can build from, not just one.
All right, well, I'm going to jump us to SmackDown's main event because, you know, it's not often weekly show WWE Championship match. Feel like we should probably end up talking about it. CM Punk, Kevin Owens, it was the match that Kevin Owens earned himself from the number one contenders match where he returned. They were having a good match between the two of them, and ultimately Sammy decided to exact his justice, come on out and mess with both guys.
He was just completing the infinite cycle of Kevin Owens winning. Sami Zayn asked for help. Kevin Owens denied him. Sami betrays him. Just about 2 years ago, it was the opposite way. The last time we've seen him, Sami didn't help him win the title. And then Kevin Owens betrays him. It's just the way they are. And yeah, I think the Saturday night main event needs to be, if they decide to hold the match there, it needs to have Sammy involved. I would think I would still pee him off a little bit and make him the special guest referee. just to really tick him off a little more. Until we finally eventually do get Sammy in a title match eventually. But it's just fun. It was a good match.
Yeah, this is obviously the traditional setup for a triple threat match for the title. As you say, though, multiple other options they could take to get from A to B. It's a good refresh for Sammy. It's a good reintroduction of Kevin. And it continues to use CM Punk, who for now gets to hold on for the championship and be sort of that standard bearer for SmackDown. It's a good combination of everything, and I hope it all shakes out down the line. And I don't know which combination of these three fellas going to be holding the title in a couple months, or if it's, you know, one of the many other main event talents on SmackDown. It is kind of stacked, so it could go 100 different ways. Alrighty, well, that is all we have time for this week. It's been great talking to you.
Maybe.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/WrestlingRNDUp, our Twitter page, twitter.com/WrestlingRNDUp, or our YouTube page, youtube.com/WrestlingRNDUp. And we will catch you next week. Down from three, go, press X to reload. Deadly still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning, we're fearless and crowd stunning. Never win ever on record, there's no one to protect you. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.